It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Many people at Christmas find themselves looking for ways to bring happiness to a child, a husband, a wife, a brother, a sister, a mom or a dad, and possibly a host of other people. Sometimes Christmas time can become overwhelming. Some become so overwhelmed, so we're told, that they end their lives because of sadness, despair, or because of what they allow to become great pressure. We should not get so wrapped up with things, but should remember the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas is that someone, Jesus Christ, came to offer life to all instead of death. Looking to God's Word, the Bible, we read of many prophecies of the Old Testament as being fulfilled in the New Testament. One of the prophecies we read of in the Old Testament is about the Messiah.
Some 2,000 years ago, we see the fulfillment of a prophecy that was made in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25. The Bible says there, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times." Of course, you read about this in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 as well, about the wall. We see that fulfillment of prophecy taking place, and we understand that it took place some 2,000 years ago. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." I want you to notice with me, if you would, back in Daniel 9:25, it mentions the word Messiah. Jesus, of course, was and is the Messiah. Notice the word Christ in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. This is an adjective. It's a description. It means the anointed. In Psalm 2:2, the Bible says, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." And of course, that's speaking of his anointed, Jesus Christ. To anoint, we see that the Bible speaks about anointing taking place for the king and the other prophets and the prophets, the kings and priests in the Old Testament. Well, Jesus was anointed for all three offices. And then it says that Messiah will be cut off after 62 weeks in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26. Of course, he was cut off. This means that he went to the cross. He gave his life that those in, and we need to stop and realize that in this world, the Bible teaches us that all are sinners. Christ came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. And those who were lost are those people who have never received Jesus Christ as Savior. It's everyone who's never trusted Christ. Well, Jesus came to seek and to save everyone on this earth. No one can make the claim that Jesus sends anyone to hell. Of course, they can claim that, but it's not true. They have no proof of that, because the Bible itself says that Jesus came to die for everyone in this world. He does not want anyone going to a devil's hell. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Peter said to Cornelius concerning Christ in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If you go back and study the Old Testament, you'll see that the anointing that we're speaking of here about Jesus Christ applied to kings. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 16 speaks about this. 1 Samuel 10:1. We see it also applied to prophets. 1 Kings 19:16 speaks of this, and also speaks of the anointing for priests. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 29, chapter 40, and verse 15, and also in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 32. We see Christ in all of these offices, prophet, priest, and king. Christ is the king. In Matthew 2:2, it says, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." These were the wise men that we study about at Christmas time. They came seeking the King of the Jews. Well, Jesus accepted this title in Matthew 27:11. It says there, "And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest." This is just before his crucifixion. Jesus is the King of the Jews. And he admitted that in Matthew 27:11. The Old Testament prophets saw him as king and a ruler. In Micah 5:2 it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So we see the Bible points to Jesus Christ as king. And then we see that it points to Jesus Christ as priest. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 20, it says, "Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11, it says, "But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building." Hebrews 10:12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." And then in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So we not only see Christ as king, we see him as priest. And as we think of this, we need to understand that the Messiah came at a certain time. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, came for certain individuals. Christ became the Messiah when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. We often overlook the fact that Christ was not the Messiah or the Savior until after he shed his blood and had ascended back to the Father. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Hebrews 9:22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Hebrews 10:12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Jesus Christ, prophet, priest, and king. Well, Christ becomes the Messiah for whom? It's those people who receive him. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Grace. Notice that word. Ephesians 1:6 says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Ephesians 2:5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." And then in 1 Corinthians 1:4, the Bible says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." Jesus came to die for this world, for the people of this world. Now I want you to notice the word "whosoever." In Joel chapter 2 and verse 32, the first part of that verse, it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered," or saved. Acts 2:21 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is taken, of course, from Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. Romans 10:13 is also taken from that verse of the Old Testament. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." People must call on, they must ask Jesus to be saved. You don't ask a person, you don't ask a man on this earth to be saved. You don't confess your sins to a man on this earth to be saved. You ask Jesus to save you, to forgive you of your sin, and to come into your heart. To receive Him as Savior, you must acknowledge that He is God, that He is the Almighty Messiah. He is the one who came to seek and to save those who were lost. He was born, He lived, and the Bible tells us that He died. And when we look to His death, we look to the cross. We see the death of a man, of Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. We see the man, Jesus, who was born of a virgin. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. During His ministry, He preached. He even raised the dead during His ministry. And then He went to the cross. He gave His life that you and I could have life. You know, we often look to the cross as a place of death, but I also look at it as a place of life. Because without the death of Jesus on the cross, we would not have eternal life. It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I can receive eternal life. And thank God I have received that promise because I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I wonder today, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Everyone listening right now, everyone who hears what I'm saying, you're making a choice. You've heard God's truth in which He lovingly tells us our need. We are sinners because we are sinners. We are under the condemnation of sin. Hell is eternal, is the eternal destiny of all those who reject Christ and die in their sins. You have either believed on Jesus Christ and received eternal life, or you have not believed. You have either believed and received full forgiveness of all your sins, or you have not believed and are headed for the second death. The Bible tells us that you must believe in the Lord in order to be saved. You must believe that He came and He gave His life for you, that you could one day say, "Thank you, Lord, in person for saving my life, for giving me eternal life." Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and thank God He's resurrected today. He's alive today. He's making intercession for those people who know Him as Savior. And one day, those of us who have trusted Him as Savior will enter in. Whether this life ends for me today in death, or whether I hear Him coming into the clouds with a trump of God saying, "Come up hither," either way, I'm going to be with the Lord. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, according to the Word of God. And I wonder today, have you trusted Him as your Savior? Have you received the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Jesus is alive. He came out of the grave. And He wants you to understand that you can have eternal life by trusting Him as your Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.